Welcome to Women Leading the Way radio show, where each time you'll hear from successful women CEOs, executives, and professionals, where we'll discover how they do what they do to be successful in business. We'll be interviewing women who have overcome big challenges, women who have incredible stories of lessons learned in dealing with adversity. We'll even interview women who have started and grown successful organizations, and women who are C-level executives with unique talents and positions. Our goal is to bring successful businesswomen together to share how they're leading the way in business today.
Hi there, I'm Barbara Eldridge. I'm your host for Trendsetting Women, and our topic today deals with the legal field. And our leading lady today is Gayani Wirsinga. Good morning, Gayani.
Good morning.
How are you this morning?
I am well. How are you?
Well, you know, one more week and we're rolling along here. But let's get into things, because I really am, as I've read more about your background, I'm really excited about hearing about how you came about to essentially being a lawyer. But the background, so start me out. Share with me what took you from the science field to the legal field, because I think people need to understand that you know, like all of us, sometimes we have to make changes. So start me off here.
Yeah, so I started off actually in science. I am a scientist. I was on path to getting a PhD. I was at National Institutes of Health doing diabetes research. And, you know, up until then, all I have done is being in science. And, you know, I did a lot of biomedical research, undergrad as well in cancer research. And so I also have done a postdoc fellowship at National Institutes of Health working on neuroinflammation and looking at drugs that treat neuroinflammation. And then I was in a PhD program with Johns Hopkins and National Institutes of Health. And, you know, I had some setbacks and some challenges. And my original intention when I went into biomedical field was actually to go pre-med, except I realized I don't like hospitals. So I went into research.
Wow.
I went into the research field because that seems like a good alternative. And I enjoyed, you know, the aspect of research. And but I didn't really think about being a full-time research scientist in a lab, per se. But I figured after I finish, I could go into consulting, you know, or something else, not necessarily academia. I was in my program, and I think we chat a little bit about this. One of the challenges I had was I had to switch labs initially because I was actually sexually harassed by my the head of the lab that I was in as a graduate student. And because, you know, this was in 2005, 2006, not when the Me Too movement like right now. So, so it's not a time that, you know, I did file a report. So it's not like I didn't report. I did file a report, but I didn't want to go through a lawsuit. I did, but what it did was I lost 2 years of my research, 2 years of my time in the grad school because I had to start over in a new lab. And then when I started over in the new lab, you know, what happened is with the PhD program, you're up to, you have a committee. It's a kind of a subjective process. It's not just
right.
Like law school where you finish your courses, you take a bar exam, and it's up to you if you pass or you practice. So I was looking at a 9-10 year PhD, and at that point, I know. I was really angry. I was tired. I didn't have that bandwidth I would have had if I hadn't gone through that, you know, sexual harassment issue. So I kind of, at that point, when my committee told me I'm looking at 4 or more years in my 4th year committee meeting and then my 5th year committee meeting, I decided that's not the best use of my time. You know, and
or
I
your,
was
or your
kind
talent
of,
or your talent.
Oh,
really.
My talent. Yeah. And I was, yeah, I was, I felt like I also needed to take my power back, because I know any woman who have went through something like that, they will know that there is a, you know, there's anger, there's a lot of mixed emotions. So I was at a point, my sister was already finishing law school, because 2008, 2009, and she kept on saying, why don't you come to law? You will love it. You like advocacy. You like writing. You know, you're good at advocating science and other issues. So, you know, and it's also the worst time for our economy at that time, kind of like right now, right? Like it was 2008.
We're reliving it, yes.
Yeah, 2009, and consulting field had basically busted. They laid off a lot of consultants, so I knew I didn't have much of an opportunity there. So I looked into law school, so I wanted to move back to West Coast, the best coast. No, I'm just joking. I just can't handle the cold weather. I'm a tropical girl. So I decided, I've been in East Coast for that by then 9 years, because I did my post back there too. So I wanted to be in San Diego my whole life. I like when I came here in for junior high, for La Jolla for a visit, I knew this is where I wanted to live. So I came down to Cal Western to do my JD. And it was a journey of empowerment for me, because I think after I went through that and doing a lot of self-awareness works, working on myself, my anger, and, processing all the emotions. Of course, I had help. I worked with a therapist, cognitive therapist. I had worked with a life coach and a healer. So,
Great. But you seem to bring some of that mindfulness into your practice of law. So, you know, how does that work in?
It's beautiful. I have to say, it's funny, because the life really offer you opportunities to step up. And if you take those, I think it makes your life so much better. I tell myself and I tell others, I have shown up every time something has shown up for me, I have shown up for it. And so I think being conscious, I do meditations every day. And in this COVID pandemic, we are taping this. I actually do meditations throughout the day. Sometimes it's just 2 minutes. Sometimes in the morning, I will do like a long meditation, like 30 minutes. Sometimes it's a guided one. Sometimes it's self-guided. But what it allows me to do with my practice of law, I have my own practice. I do intellectual property and business law. So what I do is with my clients, it's helped me to be fully present for them and kind of, it helps to kind of be present and listen and see. I do strategy for clients, so to see where the pitfalls are and talk to them. And my model of my practice is I do flat rate, so it's kind of, I do a teaching type of style with my clients. I feel like, for me, I'm a collaborator in your business. So I think that all of that is coming from that, my cultivating a mindfulness practice. You know?
Wow. It just so fascinates me that you in the long run, you chose the business aspect of the law, especially trademarks. I think that's something that you specialize in, am I right?
Yes. I do. So, when I first came in, like I said, I came to find in my power, take my power back. And I did look into going into women's rights. you know, that areas of law. But then I realized to be a good advocate, actually, you had to be impartial enough, and you had to be able to stand in a neutral place so you could actually see the arguments from both sides, because the law is actually about applying the rules and the cases and the what the Constitution have given us and the statutes. So if you can, while there is some passion going into the field, you want to make those arguments based on case law. So so I realize I'm too passionate about that field to be a good advocate per se. While I love science, I love intellectual property, business law, and, you know, it's allowed me to kind of help others cultivate their dreams, right? So it wasn't a settling, but it was more like I could be a good advocate in this area. I don't do litigation. I only do transactional. So I file for your trademarks. I do your trademark strategy. I walk you through the process and all of that. And I also do other, like, copyrights, patent due diligence. I am a patent attorney. I don't draft patents anymore. I refer those cases out. But I do due diligence, patent strategy. And then I also do, create corporations. And these days I'm creating benefit corporations. Those are like stakeholder capitalism, like, you know, businesses can be forced for good. So I love working with entrepreneurs, startups, and business owners like you, because it's I am helping the making something better, right, and protecting your intellectual property. So
well,
I have found value in that.
You can hear the energy that you put into it. That's what has always impressed me. I think the very first time I ever met you, that enthusiasm and excitement, even for what, you know, everybody goes, the law, and you kind of go, you know, oh, she's a lawyer. But there's an enthusiasm that you come across with that draws people to you. And I'm sure some of that mindfulness that you talked about has a lot to do with that, because there's an energy that goes with that. But, how long have you been here in San Diego?
Okay, I've been here since 2010. That's when I moved here for law school. And now I'm going into 7th year of my practice. practice of law. I have my own practice for only a year and a half.
Okay. But with that, you have really gotten very involved let's see. It says that you're on the editorial board of a lawyer magazine.
San Diego Lawyer. So that
San
is
Diego
part
Lawyer.
Of the San Diego County Bar Association's publication. I'm one of their editorial board members. I also contribute articles for them. I have just recently published a mindfulness article, just came out, I think, in the October issue. I also have, I wrote another publication. I have done some articles on mindfulness for other publications as well. So, and I'm also a member of Women in Bio. I'm the vice chair, one of the vice chairs for the Southern California chapter. And
so
go ahead.
No, I was just asking. So is that how you're promoting yourself, is by being involved? Obviously, you know, in this day and age with things being locked down, involvement in those kinds of organizations can be very, very helpful.
Yes. So I found that, you know, I have people who reach out to me and say, you know, I could make you the number one SEO. And I tell them, like, my website is actually just a landing page. Honestly, if you wanted to look me up, it's better to look me up on LinkedIn. Because when I launched my practice about a year and a half ago, I had to, allocate my funding. We had to prioritize, right?
Mm-hmm,
all of
right.
the business owners out there know this, where you decide where the most needed and where, like, the ones that you could kind of wait on. So, so I also found that most of my clients are coming from referrals from other attorneys
right.
and other clients who have worked with me. And
Excellent. So
I pick and choose which organizations I want to be active in. If I'm part of an organization, I try to be active member of it. So that's me.
Obviously.
Of course, I'm not a member of a lot of things, but when I'm a member, I'm usually an active member. So
you're involved.
I'm right Damn. Now stepping. Oh, go ahead.
Can we put it on hold a minute? I've got to talk about our sponsor here for Connected Women of Influence.
Of
our
course.
Partner is Microsoft. And because their mission is to empower every person and organization on the planet to achieve more. We believe technology is a powerful force for good, and they are working to foster a sustainable future where everyone has access to the benefits and opportunities created by technology. They believe technology can and should be a force for good, and that meaningful innovation can and will contribute to a brighter world in big and definitely small ways. Thank you for your support, Microsoft, and to all of our partners. Now, let's get back to our show. The fascinating part for me is understanding when people should, number one, do a trademark or even step up to incorporating their businesses. And I imagine you have to do a lot of coaching on those things for people. Share that with
yeah.
me.
Yeah. So I will start with the trademark part.
Mm-hmm.
With the trademarks, unlike patents have to be in secret, meaning you shouldn't be talking or pitching somewhere before you talk to a patent attorney because you need to talk right away.
Right.
With trademarks, there are such thing called common law rights, and if you have been using a trademark, like, you could actually file it later. But these days, a lot of people are filing trademarks early, so I do recommend that, not waiting a long time, but you could have started using your trademark and come see me or like another attorney who does trademarks and talk to them. And because one of the things that sometimes people ask, what is the value in working with the attorney versus doing it to yourself through online, right? But it's
mm-hmm.
a complicated process. And what happens is, like, I get sometimes clients who have tried to file their own. And once you file, it's a one-way street with USPTO, meaning once you pay the fees and once you submit a description, there's very little we can do if there's certain type of objections or rejection. So it's better if you have worked with one of us, of course, I will say that, as an attorney, because it's easier for me to, like, mold that whole process. So I will talk to you. If a client come to me and they are trying to figure things out, I will first ask them what they're planning to do and what they're doing right now. I will ask for their timeline and all the services or goods that they are trying to launching. And then also part of this process is doing a search for other trademarks that could be confusingly similar to yours. Now, that's where a lot of people do get confused, because sometimes they think, well, it's not the exact same name, but in when the exact same word or the exact same phrase or the symbol. Well, the thing is, with trademarks, what the USPTO attorney at that site, the examiner, is going to look at is whether a consumer looking at that mark will get confused, because trademarks are about housing the goodwill of your business into that mark. So that's why they are valuable, because you're basically, by that symbol, that phrase, like, you know, the Microsoft, right? That what the Microsoft symbol and the word Microsoft carries, know, brand. It that carries the quality. So anything that is, that's what it is, you know, and people recognize that four square colors, right? That by itself. So when I said that, you just thought about it. So,
right.
So that's what a trademark is. So, and then as a business, a lot of times people, you know, what happens is they think they create a, like an LLC to protect their assets because they have personal assets. But the LLC is only good as how it is created and what you're practicing. So if you haven't created it well and you're not practicing formalities of a business entity, then you really wasted your money because it may not protect you in a legal situation. So, you know, so when you come to attorney, that's what we will discuss.
Well, I think one of the things that, you kind of breezed over that I think a lot of people don't realize is how much of an asset that trademark becomes for the business in terms of the future, even just being able to sell the trademark. So,
yes, absolutely. Like, you know, if your business, especially for startups and companies, a lot of times what you are selling is the intellectual property of your business. That includes, like, something like your trademark that have now built that brand, built that value into that mark, right? So there is a quality and a reputation that goes along with your trademark, and that's what the value to anybody who's purchasing that brand is. Like, if you go and buy a Kate Spade bag, like a coach, you know there's a certain quality to it, right? That's why there is a certain amount of money you're willing to pay for that brand. So it's the same thing, you know?
That brand, that purse also has future sales in it. They're selling all those used Kate Spade things online all the time. So, yes,
it really
does have that kind of a importance to people.
Exactly, and there's a value that there's also, like, you know, some of these stuff build value over time. So, like, you know, so the more you use a trademark and the way you use it matters. So that's really important to keep in mind. I talk about this in my YouTube channel, The Inventive Mind, sometimes, because you had to actually use the mark as you have registered it. So, like, if you only register it for one class, there's 45 classes of international goods and services, and 35 of those are goods. Like, if you just register it for shoes, but if you are now doing stuff like water bottles, well, then you should actually go back and register for that too, because when you go to sell that business, and your buyer look at, well, no, you only have a registration for shoes, but you don't have trademark registration for the class of water bottles. Well, they're going to, you know, you're losing value, right? So there's all these technicalities. And, you know, on the other hand, you don't want to go and register for 5 classes if you're not planning to use it, or you're trying to block somebody else from using a mark. It's not like squatting for, like, domain names. You don't want to do that with a trademark because you actually had to be using it in commerce. So,
I think a lot of people, when the internet first started, they started buying up URLs for companies that were already out there, you know, and then they were making money selling those back, and that's one of the traps a lot of people get into.
And actually trademarks can help along in somewhat of a way with those, because once you have registered trademark, you could block somebody else from using that same phrase or name from using it, because it will be interfering with your rights. So while you may not be able to force the person who's holding the URL to sell it to you, you could actually, if they launch a website with the same name, you could actually send a cease and desist because that's the trademark you're holding.
Wow. Mm-hmm. It just, you know, you're I can hear the enthusiasm that you come to this business with. You know, and it I realize that you did a lot of, you know, the research when you were in the science field, and so I have to feel that this kind of resembles a little bit of that. And I guess to ask you, what keeps you, you know, what's fun and exciting for you outside of the law and science?
I love hiking. I mean, that's why I wanted to move to San Diego. San Diego is like, you know, like there's so many things to do. I love being in nature. I love wineries, by the way. Like, I keep telling people I want to do trademarks for wineries. partly because
so
I like being around wineries. It will be mixing business with pleasure. But, you know, I love going, like, wine tasting with friends. I, you know, like, good conversations, good food, and hiking. Those are my favorite things. I love to go to the beach, just dip my toes in the water, even if it's winter. Because I think even if, because you warm up to it, especially we are in West Coast, right? So, you know, I think there's an initial shock, but it's a good way to kind of ground your energy, actually. So that's what I enjoy.
Just in case our listeners might want to reach you, Gayani, how would you like people to contact you? You want your email, your phone number? Please share that now with people. Do pronounce your last name for people, so in case I messed it up.
So you could find me at by emailing me. It's gayani@lawgr.com. That's Gayani@lawgrw. That's my initials. G as in Gary, R as in Randy, W as in William.com. And you could also find me at InventYouMind on YouTube. If you put Gayani Law, GayaniLaw, into search, you will be able to find me. My last name is pretty long, so I will just say Gayani Weerasinghe, WEERASINGHE. You could find me on LinkedIn and follow me. I don't add people I haven't met, but you're welcome to follow me on there.
Excellent. So what would you like to be able to say to business owners at this point? You know, first off, being in the lockdown, you know, what are the things you think they could do to better prepare themselves to move forward?
So I'd say if you had a setback, look at it as a time to, you know, redesign same things and look for the opportunities. Don't take it as a, you know, there needs to be resilience in our life, right? And there had to be resilience in your business too. So, yeah, it sucks sometimes when this happens. And I completely understand for restaurant owners and others who are out there, this must be a devastating time. But I also have seen people who are stepping up, finding ways to innovate. So it is a good time to innovate. When your hands are tight and you have no other choice, there's always, you feel like there's no other choice. That's the time to sit down and see where the other opportunities are. Where do you want to, you know, take your skill set and your business and maybe look into a different path, like maybe online, what is the opportunities are, or like, you know, there's people who are doing food delivery. So,
okay, Gayana, thank you. That's our show for today. And I certainly thank you for being our leading lady today. And a special thanks to our listeners, both in the U.S. and internationally, as we are an international show. And we'll be back again with Women Lead Radio on Mondays at 9 a.m. Pacific Time. It's been my pleasure to be your host today. Thank you for listening. Have a great week. Make it a very profitable, profitable one.
Thank you.
Women Leading the Way is produced by Connected Women of Influence, the premier private membership organization where like-focused, business-to-business executive and professional women connect, collaborate, and cultivate a vast network of high-level affiliations, resources, and professional relationships. For more information about Connected Women of Influence, please visit our website at connectedwomenofinfluence.com.